Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this sunny Sunday morning. I'm glad to see all of you here today. I have a few announcements for you. One, you'll notice we made a slight change to the bulletin on the very back. We've added people to pray for throughout the week. As long as I have the people... how do I put this? If I know who we're praying for by Thursday evening, it will be in the Sunday bulletin. And so just if you have prayer concerns, let me know. Also, let me know if you don't want it in the bulletin. I'm happy to honor that request. Secondly, the next week, don't forget to turn your clocks ahead. It's spring is coming. Spring is coming. Yes. So don't forget next week to turn your clocks ahead, and then you won't miss, you know, all of this fun stuff. Don't forget also that the craft show is coming up on the 18th. If you have, if you want to make some baked goods for the bake sale, please see BJ or Carol with your baked goods. They can even be frozen ahead of time. So if you want to bring them early, you got more time this week to bake stuff. You know, we can freeze them. Our Sunday school, or about spiritual practices, is going very well. Next week we'll be talking about listening to God. This week we talked about prayer, and please come join us. Let me know. I did order some more books. I ran out of books. Like, you guys made this is such a popular thing that I I'm gonna have to order more books. And if you are able to reimburse the church, they are $10 each. If you're not, that's fine as well. Let's see what else. Wednesday afternoon Bible study. The sign on the board worked last week. We had a guest from outside of the church that saw the sign and was like, "Hey, I think I'd like to join that." And she came and joined us on our Wednesday Bible study. We'll be looking more in depth at the scripture for the upcoming Sunday. So 1:30. I think somewhere it says 1 o'clock, but it's 1:30 on Wednesdays. Yes.
She had to come this week because I told the sign down.
Yeah. Yeah. We let her know that it was an ongoing thing. We let her know whether she remembers or not.
She's here.
You are here. No, you're not the... Yeah, you are. You're Margie. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. You look so different without your hat. And, yeah, sorry about that, Margie. Okay, are there any other announcements that I did not include in the bulletin? I think I'm forgetting.
Christian reports.
Your reports were supposed to be in today. Your end of the year reports were supposed to be in to Heather and to Lynn by today. Do we know whose reports are missing? Who's missing?
Deacons and the main one.
Deacons and the main one. The main.
Heather has deacons.
Oh, Heather has deacons.
Okay.
All right. Whew. Man, it's because we will also have a congregational meeting on the 26th to go over all of this stuff. Okay? Anything else? With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship with our call to worship. As God set Abram, Sarai, and Lot on a journey, God calls us to follow and trust. God is able to make us more than we have been blessed, blesses us on the way. As Jesus invited Nicodemus to be born again, Christ invites us to become a new creation. Christ calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we are saved through him. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, To God Be the Glory. God's grace or favor. It comes to us not as something owed, but as a gift freely given. Confident in God's love for us, even when we are ungodly, we confess our sins in faith, saying, Gracious God, we come before you in need of forgiveness and grace. You call us to trust you completely, but we do not. We are timid and fearful as we follow your lead. We justify our actions and words, though we know they are not what you require. We struggle to understand the new life of Christ offers, preferring old habits to risky change. Forgive us, we pray. Help us to be born again into the life of Christ, trusting that you have included us by grace in the family of faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friends, God is for us and not against us. For that very reason, God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. words, let us now profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God's Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Of Christ, our salvation and our
We've come to the time in our service when we lift up the prayers of joy and concern for the world, the church, and one another. I just wanted to let you know that I did visit with Kathy Henrietto yesterday. She looks amazing and is just sweet as pie, as usual. She's doing really well. They did have a problem. Her, you know, pulse and BP were just a little lower than they would have liked, so she stayed an extra day. She should be going home today, but, you know, she's doing fantastic. Faye's husband, also his surgery went very well, and he is home. He went home yesterday. We did get a prayer for Jim Eichner's son. Is he doing okay?
He's fine. They just did a lot of tests. It'll probably be a couple of weeks before they find out the results.
Okay. So they just did a few more tests, and it'll just be a few weeks until we find out more results. I would also like to ask you to keep in prayer this week. Arlie, she will be having surgery on Thursday, so we're asking for a successful surgery and a speedy recovery. With that, let us pray. God, our helper, we thank you for keeping our lives always in your care and protection, and pray for any and all who are in harm's way, for those walking in the midst of danger, for those who are treading a slippery path, for those exhausted and seeking relief, for those who face a mountain of worry or debt or any other obstacle. Be guardian and guide, we pray, setting all our feet on your paths of righteousness and peace. We pray for those who are struggling with a new challenge or call, with a major transition in life or livelihood, with their faith and understanding, with grief, old or new. Keep in your tender care and mercy, O God, those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, those weighed down by depression or pain, and those recuperating from surgery, especially Kathy following her hip replacement and Mark's following the surgery for Crohn's. Protect not only us and those we love, but the whole wide world you so love. In places of war, Ukraine, Myanmar, Afghanistan, Colombia, Somalia, Yemen, Syria, and so many other countries, bring peace. In places beset by natural disaster, earthquake ravaged Turkey and Syria, flooding in Brazil, ice and snow in the upper Midwest United States, and fires in Chile, bring calm and restoration. We also pray for the people of East Palestine, Ohio, following the toxic chemical spill. Provide sources of clean water and air for these people. Where hope has grown tired and thin, lift our sights so that we may see hope beyond hope, life beyond death, and you lifted up before us. All these things we ask in the name of Christ, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Wash, O God, Your Sons and Daughters. Thank you. seated. All that we have is a gift from God. In faith and gratitude, we return now a portion of what we have so abundantly received as grateful heirs of the promises of God. Gracious God, we dedicate to you not only these gifts, but also ourselves in deep gratitude for your call on our lives, your guidance in the baptismal journey, and for blessing us that we may be a blessing to others. Accept what we bring for your own good purposes. In Christ we pray. Amen. Before we do the scripture reading real quick, there is a prayer that I forgot. I sent out an email earlier about Connie Wagner that we noticed was taken by ambulance on yesterday. So please keep her in your prayers. We don't have any updates as of yet, but keep her in your prayers.
Good morning. The scripture for today is John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they were born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The winds blow wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Verily I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. Then how then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the ones who come from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding in the new life it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so that we may believe this testimony and have eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and savior, we pray. Amen. I have a bit of a confession to make to you. I know you love it when I do this. Sometimes, although not quite as often as earlier in my life, I'm a little hesitant to tell people that I'm a Christian. Whether it's out of fear or embarrassment, I don't usually wear my faith on my sleeve, or these days, my neck. And some of that hesitancy is due to passages like this that are used in some pretty distasteful ways. Perhaps any of you have been asked, "Are you born again?" I know I've been asked that many times, and it's always it's a difficult question for me to answer. I didn't have that, you know, I didn't believe in God, I believe in God. It was just always a part of my faith. It's just always been a part of my life. But it also feels like the asker is trying to sort me into some sort of group. Are you saved like us? Or are you crazy like them? Am I a real Christian, or am I one of those religious fanatics? And honestly, the question isn't an especially accurate or helpful way to determine how someone lives out their faith, because it relies pretty heavily on stereotypes. And I personally think that this question creates more separation and conflict than building up the body of Christ. It seems like Nicodemus was also just a little bit hesitant to let other people know what he thought about Jesus. Because John tells us that Nicodemus went to Jesus at night under the cover of darkness. It was almost like he was sneaking around and he didn't want other people to know. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler. We don't get to hear a whole lot about him. John is the only gospel that mentions him. In addition to this incident, we see Nicodemus interceding for Jesus with the other Pharisees during the trial, and finally bringing spices with Joseph of Arimathea to bury Jesus after the crucifixion. It probably was difficult for Nicodemus to meet with Jesus, if not outright dangerous. Nicodemus was, after all, part of the establishment for whom Jesus became a political problem. So he followed Jesus from afar. He arrived under the cover of darkness to see the light of Jesus. And then he disappeared just as quickly as he arrived. Nicodemus does admit that there's something real special about this Jesus. That God must be with Jesus. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one else could perform the signs that you're doing if God wasn't with him." And Jesus responds, by doing what Jesus does and answering a question that wasn't asked. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. I can see Nicodemus just shaking his head in bewilderment, like, okay, what does that mean? This guy's just making things up now, isn't he? I can't put myself back in my mom's uterus and be born again. Jesus clarifies by saying, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Jesus even goes a step further, chastises Nicodemus for being so surprised. I tell you, this does nothing for my imposter syndrome, because I'm wondering, like, how exactly is Jesus going to respond to me and my questions like this? This whole interaction makes a little more sense when we read it in Greek, though. The Greek term for born again is geneo enothen. Geneo is where we get gynecology, birth. Enothen, however, enothen has several meanings. It means again, anew, from above. To be born enothen speaks of both a time of birth, again, anew, and the place from which this new birth is generated, from above. Nicodemus only hears the first option, born again. But the way that John writes this, Nicodemus should have heard and understood the double meaning at the same time. So we also need to keep this wordplay in mind. Nicodemus still doesn't get it. I see Jesus just dropping his head in his hands in frustration, and he says, you know what? You're Israel's teacher. How do you not know what I am talking about? Lest we judge Nicodemus too harshly, I think we're also supposed to be struggling with the expression geneo enothen alongside Nicodemus. We're supposed to grapple with what kind of new birth is at the same time birth from above, a birth that is of water and spirit. In that struggle, we're called to listen to all of Jesus' words in the texts, not just a few of them. So as we move through the text, a fresh and fuller understanding bubbles up. By transcending the traditional categories, the text envisions a new mode of life for which there are no precedents. Life born of water and spirit. That is life regenerated through the cross of Jesus. Jesus' impatience with Nicodemus leads some of us to read the texts as a command. You must be born again. And that work, that being born again, that's something that we need to do. Us gestating Christians, we are responsible for being born again. And that leads us to an urgency of making sure that not only we, but other people make that decision to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, while at the same time having the validity of our faith judged by whether or not we have been born again. When we use it this way, we're making the same mistake that Nicodemus made. Understanding anothen only on one level. Nicodemus focused on that physical birth, while some Christians focus on spiritual rebirth via personal conversion. The mistake here is emphasizing personal change more than the external source of that change, the cross. What if instead of a command, Jesus is offering us an invitation to let God work in our lives, inviting us and Nicodemus to come into the light of the day and become mature believers, full participants in the abundant life that he offers? And Jesus knows that none of us can do this on our own. It's God who will give birth in water and spirit. This is God's gift to give, God's work to accomplish. And it's God who labors to bring us to new life. God works hard for us and our faith. God conceives us as Christians and nurtures us in the wombs of our faith, safe and warm and secret. But at some point, like any pregnant woman who is close to full term, God gets a little impatient with gestation and wants to just get on with it. God wants to push that baby into the fullness of life, into a faith, holy, living holy into the world. The good news here is that God is prepared, even eager, to do this hard, messy, sweating labor through water and spirit that will bring us to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise for our communion hymn, You Satisfy the Hungry Heart.
Thank you. To the chagrin of some of you and to the delight of some of you, I'll be doing communion just a little bit different again. So we won't really be following the parts in the pews. You'll know when I want you to say something. You know the words. And if you don't, that's fine. Other people around you do. And it's just a couple. Okay? So, friends, if we are honest with ourselves and with God, we are all seeking something. Some of us long for a place to belong. Others seek permission to be who we were made to be. Some of us are hungry for connection, hungry for justice, or hungry for a glimpse of the divine. No matter what it is your soul longs for, there is good news to be found here. Friends, this is not Renshaw Valley's table. This is not even a Presbyterian table. This is Christ's table. We are all guests. He is the host. There is a seat here with your name on it. Thanks, God. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of the lost and found, surely it is right for us to give our thanks and praise. For day after day we look for you. And day after day we find you in the laughter of children, and the sun rising over the horizon, in the flowers of the spring. So we come in prayer to you to say thank you. For when we're seeking beauty, you give us mountains and freckles and green eyes and brown eyes. When we're looking for a reason to hope, you give us rainbows after the storm. You give us three-part harmony and the sound of rain. And when we're seeking justice, your life reminds us that everyone is welcome at your table, and no one shall be turned away. For all of these reminders, we are so deeply grateful. And yet, gracious God, our seeking does not stop. For even though your fingertips are all over this world, we are not yet at your promised day. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and juice. That the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share in this feast, united in ministry and in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be Christ's body in the world. Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time that you eat of this bread or drink of this cup, you proclaim the living, the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. It is our custom, as we pass around the elements, we hold on to the bread and we eat it all together. We hold on to the cup and we drink together.
God of manna and mustard seeds, we came to this table hungry, and we leave feeling full, full of hope, full of promise, full of what could be. For we have not only found glimpses of you at this table, but we caught a glimpse of the way things could be, in a meal where all are welcomed and all are fed. Is there anything holier than that? So thank you for nourishing our curiosity alongside our spirit and our conviction. May we always seek you the way you seek us. With grateful hearts we pray. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, There Is a Redeemer. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer a charge and a benediction. Remember how much God loves this world, and go love the world in the name of Christ, that your testimony becomes the good news someone else has been waiting to receive. As you go out and come in, may God keep you by sunlight and moonlight. May Christ encompass you with love, and may the Holy Spirit empower you with new life, now and forever. Amen.